given the temperatures that we've been experiencing around here recently, you'll be able to tell right away that the word I'm about to use, which is taken from a recent headline, pertains to a story nowhere near to Eau Claire. That first word being floods. But about 2.5 weeks ago, the Reuters news agency posted a headline or a story beginning with "Floods head toward Australia's Brisbane." Apparently some amazing downpours have been affecting the land down under with some rather devastating results. The article states that authorities urge thousands of residents to leave the outskirts of Australia's third largest city. 10 people died overnight with cars and pedestrians swept away in a superstorm that sent water raging through the streets of Toowoomba. And as a result, apparently people on the other side of the world are now experiencing some real devastated conditions. The worst flooding in Queensland state in 50 years has killed 14 people in the past 2 weeks, but police warn the death toll could rise significantly, fearing many people may have drowned, trapped in submerged cars and homes. And just yesterday, there was added on the internet this headline, "Cyclone headed for Australia's flood-ravaged north." Well, fortunately for us, at this time of year living in Wisconsin, we don't need to be concerned about flooding. Or do we? In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord tells us, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." I'm not familiar with the topography of Queensland, Australia, so I don't know whether or not the people there were wise or foolish builders, placing their homes on rock or on sand. But right here in America, in our own country, the foolish practice of building homes on sand can be seen, as well as the devastating consequences of such building when a hurricane bears down on bayfront or beachfront homes. Why do people build on sand? One can understand why, on a beautiful, sunny, peaceful day, when the weather is calm, it's easy to be lulled into the perception that every day will be so calm and peaceful. When one takes the threat of a storm lightly, such a person naturally ceases to be concerned about the risks of building on sand. And how similar that is to the way things work in the realm of spiritual things. Since people don't see spiritual storms coming, especially the great storm of the Lord's return on the last day, it's easy to take the promise of His return lightly. It's natural to conclude that every day will be as today, and that one needn't take the coming of the Lord all that seriously, even though the Scriptures forecast very clearly that the Lord will be here soon to render to every man according to his works. And the result of such nearsightedness is that many people build weak, feeble spiritual structures. Who are these people? Surprisingly, perhaps, many of those facing destruction are people who are very familiar with things religious. They are involved with religious events, they go through religious motions, they even say religious things. In a parallel recording of this parable, Jesus prefaces this section by saying, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" The Lord's anger is aroused when people only give him lip service, saying the right things but not doing what he desires. The foolish man who built his house on sand is, as Jesus explains, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. Many are those who find it beneficial for some reason or another to associate with a church, to go to services, to be involved. but who ignore God's word and thereby keep it from producing its fruit. They are those who, despite hearing God's word and even learning his name, give no evidence that the gospel has actually taken hold. No foundation, no faith, no fruit, and therefore no chance of surviving that deluge which is coming at the end of time. All too often the words of the Lord are heard but not heeded. And we also have the flesh which can prompt us to be only listeners of the word and not doers. How easy it is also for us to assume that going to chapel every day, going to church regularly, attending a Christian school is all that is really enough, and that we don't need to concern ourselves with much beyond that. But it's more than just hearing. There's a link which Scripture places between the hearing of God's word and the doing of what that word says. We need to be reminded that to fit into the category of wise builders, we need to hear the words of God and put them into practice. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It is not, of course, that the actions will save us, but that actions give evidence of where faith is fruitful and alive and active. The writer of the People's Bible makes an interesting observation of how this parable comes at the very end of the Lord's lengthy Sermon on the Mount. He actually rounds out that sermon with this parable. Therefore, quoting here, we can say that the wise man who built his house on the rock is the one who is poor in spirit, who mourns, who is meek, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, who is pure in heart, who is a peacemaker, and who is persecuted because of righteousness. He is the salt of the earth and the light of the world. His righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He does not resist an evil person, but turns the other cheek. He goes the extra mile. He loves even his enemies. He gives to the needy without letting his left hand know what his right hand is doing. He prays humbly and sincerely. He stores up treasures in heaven and does not attempt to serve two masters, God and money. He trusts God to provide for all his needs. He does not judge other people's hearts. He watches out for false prophets. He enters through the narrow gate. All these God-pleasing works are included when Jesus speaks of the wise man building his house on the rock. And when we build on the rock, when we hear the word of the Lord and put it into practice, then the winds and the storms can come without doing harm or giving threat to our well-being. As a matter of fact, for the Christian church, the coming of the Lord's final storm is a welcome thing, as it will finally remove all that is ugly and bad and evil, unhealthy, unpleasant, replacing this world with the kingdom in which righteousness dwells. Strong, safe, secure, and blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. We sing of this link between faith and works in the form of hymn 377, stanzas 9 and 10, 377, 9 and 10. Faith clear.